Bibles, please, to the book of Luke and the 6th chapter. Luke chapter 6 in your Scofield Bible, page 1080. Starting with verse 12, we'll read responsively through verse 17. And the 17th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. And shall we please stand, as is our custom here at First Baptist Church, for the reading of the Scripture. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them, and stood in the plain, in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. It's another wonderful Sunday. It's always wonderful and refreshing to wake up on Sunday morning to realize we get to go to church, and we get to see our church family, and we get to fellowship with some of the greatest folks who walk the earth, and we get to hear our preacher and the man of God you've chosen for our church and for these years. What a privilege is ours, and how blessed we are, and we thank thee. Now, it would all be wasted unless we would open our hearts and our minds to the message. Help us to keep here with intention, and with the intention that we might be changed. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Normally when I speak, I place throughout the message illustrations, something to make a little more clear what I'm saying. This morning, I'm going to use all my illustrations before I pray. And then I'll have made it clear. You can go home. 5 minutes from now. And I'm going to read my text. And then I'm going to give you a few illustrations. And then I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to bring the brief message. My text says, and he came down with them and stood in the plain. I speak this morning on the subject, he came down with them and stood in the plain. He had been on the mountain all night, and there he had chosen the 12 apostles. And there in a time of ecstasy and thrill and excitement on the mountaintop, it's wonderful. But our Lord came down with them and stood in the plain. At the siege of Sebastopol, an officer commanded a soldier to stand on a wall and expose to the enemy to transport ammunition to the troops. And this soldier was standing there transporting ammunition, vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And all of a sudden, General Gordon jumped to the wall to help. And the general was there exposing himself to the enemy with the soldier. And he shouted to the officer who gave that command, "Come up with us. Never order a man to do anything you're afraid to do yourself." I was a paratrooper in World War II. My commanding general in the 82nd Airborne Division was General James Gavin, one of the greatest men that ever lived in America. I would have hoped he'd been president. He was ambassador of France after he was discharged from the paratroopers. We never made a jump, but what General Gavin was the first man out of the plane. I recall 10,000 of us in 82nd Airborne Division made a jump one day, And is always the case, General James Gavin, called him Gentleman Jim Gavin, was the first one to jump. Uncle Harvey, a multimillionaire, was very close to me. Uncle Harvey was my dear buddy and friend and pal. He was very wealthy. I doubt if he knew how much he had. Uncle Harvey said to me one day, quote, "Son, don't build your church on people like me." He said, "You build your church on the common man." That was a multimillionaire. Don't build your church. And by the way, I have succeeded in that because we haven't got a multimillionaire in this room today. It's been a wonderful, other than Mayor Deedlow, of course. He said, "Don't build your church on people like me. Build your church on the common man." Abraham Lincoln, when he was president, was sitting at a formal dinner. Beside him was a person that was supposed to be a guest of honor, but he was a commoner. When time came for the man to drink his coffee, he took his cup and poured his coffee in the saucer, just like all Americans do down south. And he poured his coffee in the saucer. And everybody was shocked to see that man at a formal presidential dinner to pour his coffee in the saucer and to drink from the saucer. Whereupon, the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, took his coffee and poured his coffee in the saucer. And he, too, drank from his saucer. All those illustrations will illustrate what I'm going to say in the next 20 or 25 minutes. Our Heavenly Father, I've already preached my illustrations of my sermon, and now I come to bring the message. I pray the people shall listen attentively. I pray you'd help me to be a blessing, encouragement, and strength to the people of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. We hear much of Christ on the Mount. Christ on the Mount of Olives as he ascended back to the Father. Christ on the Mount of Gethsemane as he prayed, "Not my will but thine be done." The Christ of the Beatitudes who wrote, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn," and so forth. The Christ of Mount Moriah. The Christ of Mount Tabor where he was transfigured and made with given his glorified body. The Christ of Mount Calvary, where he died. The Christ of Mount Zion, where someday he'll rule as king of all the world. But today, we do not view him in this message as Christ on the Mount. Today, we view him as Christ in the plain. He came down with them and stood in the plain. He has passed the night high up in the mountains, and as men awaken, he descends to the plain. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need today. We don't need some Heavenly Father up there that cannot be with us. We need Christ on our level. Christ in the plain, if you please. I love that verse, that 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. What he's saying is, you're an actor. God is an actor. And he starts to perform his performance on earth. But the earth is not a big enough stage for him. He must have a larger stage on which to perform. And so he goes to the heavens and he performs in the heavens. And again, the stage is not big enough for the great actor. Our God cannot give his performance on a stage so small as the heavens. And so he goes above the heavens and the platform is so great he has to be above the heavens. But the next verse says, after our great, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, who's so great, it takes above the heavens to build a platform big enough for him. The next verse says, for out of the mouths of babes and sucklings is our ordained strength, because of thine enemies. The same God that keeps the sun and the moon in place today hears the cry of every little baby in our nursery this morning. The God on the plain, if you please. That's what the world needs, the Christ in the plain. That's what the world needs, a church in the plain. Not some high church up there above the people, but down where the people live, down where the common man lives, a church in the plain. And that's what the world needs. A world needs preachers in the plain. We have enough reverends. We have enough high church people. We have enough vestries. We need somebody on the level with the people. So nigh is grandeur, Emerson said. So nigh is grandeur to our dust, so near is God to man. When duty whispers, lo, thou must, the youth replies, I can. Come down to the plain, theologian, and speak the language on the level of men. Come down to the plain, churches, from your formal worship to live on the plain with the common man. Come down from your monastery. Come down from your classical music. Come down from your sevenfold amens. Come down from your anthems. Come down from your liturgy. Come down from your sacraments. Come down from your chants and ritual. Come down from your exegesis. Come down from your divided chancel. Come down from your pomp and ceremony. Come down from your worship centers. Come down from your candlelight services. Come down from your frosted vocabularies where the common man lives and give him strength and encouragement and help. Come down from the plane of the common man. Come down to the plane where hearts ache. Come down to the plane where tears fall. Come down to the plane where burdens multiply. Come down to the plain as Dr. Cowling with his Ph.D. from Georgia Tech University every Saturday and Sunday goes out to little poor people, bus kids and the poor, and gets them all rounded up and comes to church on Sunday. Come down where they live. Doesn't matter if you got a Ph.D. if it doesn't apply to somebody that needs help. Mrs. Hiles is considered by all fundamental Baptists as the first lady of independent Baptist fundamentalism. Charming, poised lady, always proper. But see her every week as she goes to a different rest home and goes from bed to bed trying to help those people that need encouragement. And see her last week as she went to a lady in a rest home and told her the story of Jesus Christ. I'm simply saying we need to come down to the lonely widow who rears her children alone. Come down to the plain of the abandoned orphan who wonders where his parents are, and in some cases, who his parents are. Come down to the bus kid that lives in a hell in a ghetto somewhere. Come down to the ghettos where people are suffering and have need. Come down to the street people that would love to spend one night in a bed in a house somewhere. Come down to the fallen man. Come down to the lonely. Come down to the forgotten. Come down to the forsaken. Come down to the rest homes. Come down to the sick. Come down to the man. Come down off your perch up there, Church of Jesus Christ. There's a world out there that needs somebody to care. Jesus came down with them to the plain. Come down to the sick. Come down to the blind. Come down to the deaf. Come down the mountain. Out of the mountain to the man beside the road. Come down to the suffering of the Pool of Bethesda. Come down, the Savior did, to the maniac of Gadara. Come down to fallen Mary Magdalene. Come down to the woman at Sychar who had five husbands and living with a man that wasn't her husband at the same time. Come down to blind Bartimaeus beside the road to Jericho. Come down to the fisherman at Galilee. Come down to searching Zacchaeus, looking for something to calm his fears and give him assurance that he was going to heaven when he died. Come down to the funeral home. Come down to the cemetery. There are people suffering. There are people with hearts broken, with their dreams shattered and their hopes gone astray and gone awry, and their plans have not materialized. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, out there are just a few people up here in Silk Stocking Lane, but all over there are people that have need. Come down to the plain. That's where Jesus came. I was visiting out in Columbia Center years ago. I knocked on a door of an apartment in Columbia Center. A little lady came to the door dressed meagerly, very poor, no doubt. And I said, ma'am, I'm Brother Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church. And she said, oh, Dr. Hiles, I've heard about you. I've always wanted to meet you. I've heard about you. Dr. Hiles, come on in. And then she said, oh, wait a minute. I can't invite you in. Dr. Hiles, my husband left me to rear my little boy, and there was a little boy about 5 or 6 years old over there sitting in a chair. And she said, my husband left me, and we don't have any nice furniture. We don't have any nice clothes. I said, ma'am, don't you worry about that. I walked in, and there was a chair there that looked like the chair we used to have when I was a boy. All the stuffings were coming out. In fact, she said, all the stuffings are coming out of my chair. And I said, ma'am, you live better than I did. We didn't have any stuffings in the chairs where I came from. And I sat down, and she said, oh, Dr. Hiles, I didn't think you'd want to come in our place. And I said, ma'am, let me tell you, if Jesus Christ himself were here today, he'd come in your place and sit down here. I sat down in that chair, and as I won her to Christ and chatted for a while with the little boy. And as I walked out, I heard the little boy say, Mommy, 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 guess what? Dr. Hiles sat in my seat. That's what this world needs. This whole world is dying for somebody. Come down out of your lofty perch. Come down out of your monastery. Come, and that's why you're here this morning. You're not here because some preacher can make a good sermon. You're here because you know we live on your plane. This is no reverend speaking to you. This is no Holy Father speaking to you. This is a sinner saved by the grace of Almighty God who deserves to go to hell, standing up and saying, I know how you feel. I know how you hurt. Come down on the plane as the Savior did. He came down with him and stood in the plain. Come down, clerical reverend. Get you a nice tie on. Come on down. Come on down, Pope John. Trade your vestments for a suit and tie. And come on down. Instead of them kissing your toe, you kiss their toe. Come down where they live. Now you listen to me. You hear me carefully, ladies and gentlemen. This world doesn't need some high figure up in a window somewhere giving his blessing. This world needs somebody to come down and feed the hungry and clothe the cold and encourage the discouraged and help the poor. Come on down, Church of Jesus Christ. Come on down, Reverend. There's a what? Your Savior did. Come down from your consubstantiation theory. Come down from your transubstantiation theory. Come down from your impressive rhetoric. Come down from your supralapsarianism. Come down from your sublapsarianism. Come down from your selfish tongue talking. Come down from your mount of euphoria. Who gives a hoot about your dead theology? Who gives a hoot about your hermeneutics? Who gives a hoot about your apologetics? Who gives a hoot about your Gloria Patris? Somebody does give a hoot about you getting down there with a fallen man and getting on his level. Jesus came down with them and stood in the plain. There's a little Jackie boy in your Sunday school class. He needs you to stand beside him in the plain. There's a Dwight Moody in the shoe store that needs a Mr. Kimball to stand beside him in the plain. There's a Billy Sunday on a ball field that needs a gospel that applies to him, a gospel that will change his life, transform him. A communist and a Christian were standing one day together talking. A man walked by, a poor man walked by. The communist said, see that man? He said, communism can put a new coat on that man. And the Christian said, yes, but Jesus Christ can put a new man in that coat. The world doesn't need new coats on men, but new men in coats. Jesus came down with them and stood in the plain. There's a Lee Robertson in that Sunday school class. Come down and stand beside him. There's a Charles Spurgeon up in the gallery as a 15-year-old lad. Come down in the plain beside him. There's a little widow rearing her children by herself that wonders how she's going to make it tomorrow. She doesn't need me to stand up here with a few chants and some liturgy. She needs me to stand up here and say, there's a God in heaven that loves you and cares for you. You don't need me up here. You need me down on the plain. There's a couple with a near comatose son who needs you. There's a couple who just lost their little boy who needs you. There's an abandoned wife with a child to rear who needs you. There's a couple with a blind daughter who needs you. There's a broken marriage that needs mending. Needs somebody to come and stand in the plain. There's a broken heart that needs fixing. A broken life that needs help. Come down with Florence Nightingale. come down with C.T. Studd, who gave his wealth, his fortune away, and went to live in the lifestyle of people, of savages on the mission field. Come down where people live. Come down to encourage. Come down to strengthen. Come down to lift them from falling. Come down and stand in the plain. Come down with Ezekiel, who went with the slaves taken into captivity in Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And there for 7 days, Ezekiel, this high-class fellow, if you please, Ezekiel stood beside them and he said, I sat where they sat for 7 days. I sat where they sat for 7 days. I've said this often. You deaf people have heard me say it every week of my life in my motel room where I preach or sometime here. I take some paper and I stuff my ears and I walk for a while without being able to hear. I want to sit where you sit. You blind people, I take a handkerchief and blindfold myself every week for maybe 10 or 15 minutes and I'll walk in to try to shave and wash my hands or try to dress maybe without being able to see. Why? Because I want to sit where you sit. Come down out of your mountain of relativism. Come down out of your mountain of exclusivism. Come down out of your mountain of pride, formalism, indifference. I've been your preacher for 40 years. 40 years ago this August, I came as a young 32-year-old man. I've made some mistakes. But 40 years, I've walked in the plain. I've walked in the plain for 40 years. I have stood beside the grave and said, I know how you feel. I've been there. I've stood beside brokenhearted and said, I know how you feel. I was there. I've stood beside the poor and I've said, I know how you feel. For I too was poor. I've stood beside the betrayed and said, I know how you feel. I was there. I've stood beside you college couples having a tough time going to college and I can say, Mrs. Howes and we know how you feel. I know how you feel. I was there. I've stood beside the broken homes and said to a little child whose mom and daddy are separated, by the way, before you decide to do that, you better stop and think. There's some little children there that need you. Quit being so all-fired selfish and going after some unholy skirt and keep your marriage together for the sake of the children. Some psychologist said, well, if the mom and dad can't get along, it's better for them to separate than to stay together. May he drop dead as soon as he can. I did something better than that. How about mom and dad getting along? How would that be? I've stood beside the servicemen. And I've said to you sailors, I know how you feel. I was there. I was in church service thousands of miles from home. I know what it is to go alone into a church service and nobody even knows I'm there. That's one reason why I make a big to-do about you guys. I stand beside you and say, I know how you feel. I was there. I've stood beside the attacked. And I said, I know how you feel. I was there. I've stood beside the hungry and said, I know how you feel. I was there. I've stood beside the children in vacation Bible school and played the fool up here on the platform trying to give them a good time. And I can say to them, I know how you feel. I know what it is to see my daddy leave home. I know what it is to see my mother almost starve to death and work for 50 cents a day and walk to school for 2 miles and work in the public school lunchroom and work for 50 cents a day and walk 2 miles home. I know what it's like to go to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because there's no supper that night. I know what it's like not to have enough cover, have to put a sofa, a pillow on the bed to keep me warm. I know what it's like. I'm simply saying I've stood beside you vacation Bible school kids and tried to give you a good time. And I can say, I know how you feel. I was there. I stood beside the youth at youth conference. 72-year-old man preaching at youth conference. But I know how you feel. I can say to young people, I know how you feel. I was there. Now I have joined you in the plain of illness. It's a whole new world for me. I've been so strong, so healthy, For 20 years, I never missed a single service, Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, here in this church. I preach 3 times a day, 1,000 times a year now for 40 years all across this country. I've always been strong. I'm awkward in it. Everything seems so different all of a sudden. But there's one thing I can say after all these years to those who are sick. I know how you feel because I'm there. If God gives me 50 more years or 50 more days or 50 more minutes, I want to spend them in the plane. Our Savior, the Creator of the universe, about whom it was said in John chapter 1, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The King of kings, the Lord of lords, the great I am, the truth, the life, the resurrection, the life, the way, the truth, and the life, the bread of life, the living water, the door. He is the one who came down. Hey, that's not just a man. That's the Son of God, God incarnate, who condescended to come to our plane. And He came down with them and stood in the plane. He made Himself of no reputation, Philippians 2 says. He goes farther than that. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. But He goes farther than that. He was made in the likeness of men. But He goes farther than that. He humbled Himself. But He goes farther than that. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But He goes farther than that. He was touched. Oh, get this. He was in all points tempted like as we are. And He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now you listen carefully. I don't know what your heartache is today, but you felt it. I don't know what your burden is today, but He carried it. I don't know what your problem is today, but He had it. I don't know what your temptation is today, but He knew it. I mean, maybe I have not for these years been able to sit beside you and know exactly how you feel in the plane of illness, but bless God, my Savior did. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, in all points tempted like as we, and he was touched with our infirmities. Ladies and gentlemen, if nobody cares, He cares. Whatever your burden, He bore it. Whatever your heartache, He had it. Whatever your pain, He felt it. Whatever your loneliness, He suffered it. Whatever your sorrow, He endured it. Whatever your sadness, He saw it. He who was sinless became sin. He came down with them and stood in the plain. He who was God became man. He came down with them and stood in the plain. He who was omnipotent became weak. He came down with them and stood in the plain. He who was deity became flesh. He came down with them and stood in the place, in the plain. He who was the Son of God became the Son of Man. He came down with them and stood in the plain. He who was rich became poor. He came down with them and stood in the plain. He who had slept on the palatial palaces of glory and walked the golden streets came down and had no place to lay his head. And the foxes had their holes and the birds had their nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay His head. Thank God! Thank God! You better thank God and praise Him that Jesus Christ, who was rich, became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. He who was righteous became unrighteous. He came down with them and stood in the plain. May I tell you why He did it? He came down and stood in the plain that someday I might go up and stand on golden streets and walk through gates of pearl. This morning, let me tell you, for those of you who think that you're somebody, especially you freshman Bible students, the greatest theologians alive, you preachers, pause, listen to me. You hear me. We're not sending you out of here to be reverends. We're sending you out of here to get beside people. Come down and stand beside them in the plain. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken can vibrate once more. this great crowd this morning, thousands of people here. You're not here because I'm a great preacher. You're not here because I'm a great theologian. You're not here because I have charisma or a handsome, imposing figure. You're here because you know there's an old man stands up there behind that pulpit every day that feels what you feel. And it hurts when you hurt. And you're here because for 40 years I felt your pain. And I felt you, Mrs. Hiles, was sitting at a table just this week. She looked at me out of the clear blue sky. She said, "You're a great man." I said, "I know that. Tell me something new." She said, "You're a great man." And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "You've lived your life to try to help people, some of whom loved you and some of you hated you, but you tried to help them. That's why you're here this morning. You're here because there's a man up here that doesn't think he's any better than you are. He's a sinner just like you are. Deserve to go to hell just like you do. You came because you wanted somebody to stand beside you. And somebody for you about whom you could say, he sat or I sat." I've got good news for you today. The reason Jesus came down with him and stood in the plain, went to Calvary, took upon himself your sins and mine, is so you could go to heaven someday and stand beside him. He was rich, became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. Make valid his condescension today. Appropriate his condescension. Make it valid for you by saying, "I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I know I'm lost, but I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior." And that makes it worthwhile. Don't make his condescension vain. Don't make it void. Don't nullify his condescension. Walk down this aisle this morning and say, "It's time I become a Christian. I've thought about it. I've planned it, and someday I'm going to make this your someday." Because it's possible, because he came down with them and stood in the plain. He came down with them and stood in the plain. He came down with them and stood in the plain. Would you bow your heads, please?